relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
They can't stand it, and they're never going to stop. And it's not just because they don't like the president. It's not just because they don't like the president. They don't like us. They don't like the 63 million people who voted for this president. All of us in flyover country, all of us common folk in Ohio, Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Texas, they don't like us.
Jim Jordan getting to the heart of the matter. It's not about a president. It's not even about MAGA. It's about hatred. Hatred for half of this nation. Why? Because we love America. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First with a very special hour for you. Why? Because we are, let me do my math, gazinters, 21 hours away from the second impeachment trial in the Senate of Donald John Trump, despite the fact that he's not president. And we have with us constitutional law attorney, professor, expert, former member of the president's team, good friend of the show, Jenna Ellis. Welcome back in studio.
So great to join you, especially on this, what is the deja vu of impeachment eve.
I know, it's like Back to the Future. It is impeachment redux. Thank you. You are the perfect guest for the first hour. However, can I get some business out of the way? Would you mind?
Of course.
John in Ohio has a question that I must deal with because it's another one of these conspiracy theories. John, what is your question, please, before we get to work?
Yeah, my question is, it's probably, I'm not sure if it's a conspiracy or not, but it's the Act of 1871, and it rambles on about, you know, this being a military operation that was started back in 2015 or something. It's off a website called battleborn.live, and it talks about the military leaders set up their own government, and they're going to put Trump back in office on March the 4th.
Right, and that America is not a country anymore, it's a corporation. John, thank you for raising this question. John, do you believe that?
No, it's hard to believe, but you know.
Stop it. Do you think any of that is true? Do you think that Ronald Reagan would have been president? Do you think Donald Trump would have been president if there was this secret thing that we're not a country and we're a corporation and he wouldn't have told you? Do you really think that, John?
Well, I was thinking it, but I'm also thinking
John, it's a yes or no. Do you think that Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump would have done that to us, lied to our faces?
No.
Thank you. End of story. Don't read that crap. Don't read it, John. It will melt your brain, okay? Stop it. He's not the president, okay? Post right now. One of our most popular articles, the 14 reliable sources of news information in America. If it's not amongst those web pages, it's probably garbage. Okay? Don't fall for the stuff that is meant to distract you from the truth. That's the bottom line. The con artists, the grifters, don't do it. Not simply because it's bad for you. It's bad for America. It's bad for America First, and it makes a mockery of the last 4 years. Sorry.
I'm so glad that you were that direct, though, Seb, because there, I can't tell you how many people message me on all kinds of places and say, look at this, look at this. And I go, and I, the first thing I look at is, where is the source? Who is the source?
The website.
And it's all this just nonsense. That, and we dealt with this, by the way, during the whole election integrity effort.
Right.
So many things that from the right, from very well-meaning people,
right,
would completely distract. And all of these things, I mean, I got so much flack for saying, no, the Insurrection Act actually isn't constitutional in this context. I mean, so many different things and even other more crazy, wild conspiracy theories. And it does. It distracts and it allows the left to then say, oh, look, this that is so far out there is the mainstream. And that's what conservatives, genuine conservatives,
right, so
are postulating. And so then it distracts from the genuine effort, which was much, much, much more narrow.
This is for me. So I have a bugbear, and I have for decades, with ever since I was involved with political training for young kids from Eastern Europe and the Balkans, when I saw these conspiracy theories just destroy minds. I mean, literally, just destroy minds. And it became this bête noire for me. And I love conspiracy theories as entertainment, but there's a reason they're called theories. But the point you make is the most crucial one. Number one, when you buy into this stuff, even if you're well-meaning, you know, the Green Berets are raiding the CIA data server in, you know, darkest Peru and Italian spy satellites and all this stuff. If you do that, number one, it will be used against all conservatives.
Yes.
Oh, look what they believe. Second, the real stuff that you worked on, the real stuff that, you know, Mike Lindell has shown in his recent movie about, you know, voter fraud, the money that Zuckerberg paid $300 million on training local election officials. We don't focus on the stuff that's demonstrably wrong, and we're focusing on stuff that maybe seems sexy, but is outré, is out there, as opposed to focusing on what's in front of us. So thank you for your kind words. Let me start this way. What was the last 3 months like for you? Because you were there.
Yes.
I mean, you were in the thick of it with Rudy, with everybody else. How did that come about? Let's talk about how that came about.
Yeah, well, obviously, I had been a senior advisor to the campaign since before the first impeachment, right?
Right.
So doing all of the legal analysis and advising, and then, of course, you know, the president had been warning everyone about how the Democrats were systematically changing the rules, trying to undermine election integrity and the security of, you know, all of the problems with mail-in ballots. And of course,
in ways that weren't even constitutional.
No. And in ways also that were completely manipulating the system. And so when we actually looked at what happened after the election, and I said from the very beginning that this would be a really, really difficult uphill battle because it's much harder to correct something than it is to avoid it.
Right.
And so I mean, it's much harder to get restitution, to get justice after a car crash than it is to simply say, why don't we try to avoid it?
Right.
And so,
and also there's the time factor.
And the time factor, of
course. Incredibly
brief. We had, you know, 3 years for discovery, for litigation, complex cases, then it would have been, you know, much, much more elaborate of an effort to try to actually get down to everything happened. But what we did discover, and what I kept saying over the course of the 3 months to focus on, aside from what anybody else was looking at or driving toward, what we did have and what we could show is exactly what the Texas case was trying to go to, which is that when you have the Electoral College system and several states that are members cheat in that system, they ignore the executive branch in those six states, at least, ignored their own law and their own rules in the administration of their elections.
And even their own constitutions, like Pennsylvania.
Exactly. And so for those things, what you had, I mean, just like how if you look at somebody who maybe is guilty of embezzlement, and it's not just one $5 million scam, it's small amounts over the course of a really long time, you then build this case together.
Right.
That's what happened in those states, was that there were small enough increments, but there were so many different ways that they violated their own law, that we had the ultimate outcome was that they ignored the rules. They ignored the law and the administration. I mean, it was old-fashioned ballot stuffing. It was the old-fashioned way of stealing an election. And they changed the rules in advance. They ignored the Constitution. They did this by executive order in some states, which is patently unconstitutional. Yeah. And so that was the Texas case. A lot of other things going on that were not only conspiracy theory, not only other ideas, other things that, you know, maybe at one point we were looking into. But there's a reason that certain arguments never got into the litigation. And it was because as litigators, you go with what you can prove.
Right.
And so and what we could prove was completely sufficient in order for the Supreme Court to have gotten involved and also the trials in those cases. So my point is, it was really discouraging for all of us who were involved, not just, you know, I was one of the faces because I did a lot of media, but there were a lot of different very, very smart lawyers
across the country,
nationally on the national team. And it was really frustrating when the Supreme Court simply told Texas, you know, we're not even going to touch this. It was an original jurisdiction case. There was absolutely no way that they couldn't take it up, but somehow they did.
Yeah.
And so the 3 months was both a fascinating exercise for me constitutionally. It was a privilege to defend the truth, the president. But also, I feel like I have a little bit of PTSD. I'm not going to lie. we're moving forward.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're going to talk about what it means for the future. And specifically, we have you in studio because of what's going to happen at 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow in the Senate with the second impeachment trial of Donald John Trump now as a private citizen. She's Jenna Ellis. Follow her right now at Jenna Ellis ESQ on social media. This is America First.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Well, the 73-page trial memo has been deposited by the president's legal team. Jason Miller summarized it for us. If you want to hear that, go to our YouTube channel, go to our Rumble channel, subscribe to the podcast. It's free. Great summary of the three pillars of the president's argument tomorrow for the impeachment. We are posting it on our website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. The whole memo, you can read it, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. But in the meantime, we have the real expert in studio, constitutional law attorney, special counsel to the Thomas More Society, senior fellow at the Falkirk Center, Liberty University, and former legal advisor to the Trump campaign and counsel to the 45th president of the United States. Now I take a breath. Her name is Jenna Ellis, Jenna Ellis, E-S-Q for Esquire. Welcome back. I don't think we've done this before. I know you haven't been here for a whole hour, but I don't think we've ever asked you live on radio in front of millions of listeners and viewers. Who are you? Where did you come from? What is the Jenna Ellis story?
That's such a good question. And, you know, I am very much a D.C. outsider, and I would tell the president so many times, you know, after coming to this swamp, I can see why it is a swamp. And and he would always just say, well, we can do another 4 years. Right. And I'm like, yeah, you know, OK. and the campaign worked really hard to get that. But, you know, I'm a Colorado girl, and I grew up, I knew I wanted to be in a lawyer and in law when I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it in the family or why?
No, I'm the only attorney out of even my extended family. But I had.
Did they look at you funny? Did your parents go?
Initially, probably. But now they're very proud of me, which I appreciate.
I'm sure.
But I was homeschooled all the way through, which was a great experience. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She just wanted to have the experience. Yeah. And it was so much fun. And I had
Did you end up a weird kid? Because that's what they say, because you got to go to school to be normal.
I'm not social,
right? Got to go to school to be normal.
No, it's homeschooling is one of the best opportunities.
And
ever.
Short days, right? Because when you're not surrounded, you can like pack
you
it
can
all
actually,
in.
Well, and then you actually have time to pursue your interests, which is how I knew from such a young age. I wanted to be a lawyer.
So what was it? Why law?
Because I was part of the civics program that, by the way, if you're a parent out there and you have kids who are interested in government or you want them to be interested in understanding our process, there's a great program called Teen Pact. It's teens making an impact is okay. where it comes from. And it was designed for homeschool students at the time. And it was just simply to teach kids about government. And so you'd go to your state capitol for a week. You'd learn about the legislative branch. And then after that, they had what they called alumni opportunities, which was to come to D.C. to go, to New York for the United Nations, to like learn all about this stuff. Well, they had a judicial track. And that, for some reason, really interested me. You went for a week. You learned about the judicial branch. We had oral arguments. We had to write briefs. I mean, the whole nine yards, as if you're an appellate attorney in constitutional law. And I came home from that 1 week, and I said, and I went at 14, and I said, Mom and Dad, I want to be a lawyer. And I never strayed from that. And now God has brought me into a totally different area and realm than I ever
realm? How did you get into the swamp, D.C., and what did it have to do with a radio show?
Yes. So I initially thought I wanted to be a prosecutor. I was in Colorado for a while, and regardless of what the fake news media says about how all of that went down, I ended up transitioning into defense work, but ultimately was never satisfied of how they taught constitutional law in law school, because they teach it as totally arbitrary. They teach it as, all of these sets of principles that you can manipulate, like what the Senate is about to do tomorrow.
Because it's a living document.
Right. And I wanted to have a better way of articulating from a legal basis why we are a Judeo-Christian country. And why the Constitution is built and founded on that premise, other than what most Christians will say is, well, we are a Christian nation because, we love the Bible, and they want to express that we have religious liberty, and they kind of, it's more of a proselytizing view than it is a legal one. So I did a lot of research. I ended up writing a book in 2015 right. called The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution. I understand that title. And through that, I just got invited to come onto media to explain about it. And ultimately through my very, very dear friend, Mike Ferris, who's now the CEO of our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. He was actually my first constitutional law professor in high school. He wrote the foreword, and he introduced me to the president of Colorado Christian University simply for the purpose of, hey, start a moot court team. You have fun. That president ended up, after an hour conversation, hiring me to be a professor to redevelop and design wow. their entire pre-law program, which was so much fun. So I had more time as a professor to do media. Ended up getting a lot involved. Long, long, long story short, a couple of years later, I get a call from the president, very, to me, out of the blue, first time. And he says, Jenna, I've been seeing you on the media, and you have this big, beautiful title, Constitutional Law Attorney. I love it. I want to ask you some stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, yes, this is amazing. And thank you, Mr. President. And I really appreciate you. And this is the only time I'll get to talk to the president. So I'm going to give him my genuine opinion on things. And we talked for about an hour. And then he invited me to come see him at the White House. And I did a few days later. And I walked into his office, and he said, Jenna, I think you're a brilliant lawyer, and you work for me now. And that
but
was
that
it.
Was after you were on my show, wasn't it?
That really was.
I think it was.
Yes,
I
that
think
was.
It could be.
In fact, the first time I was in studio was right before I went to see him. So that part, yes, of course, we can't leave that out of the story. but the last, year and a half that I've worked directly for the president was such an amazing opportunity to be able to talk about the Constitution and about these really incredible issues, defending a president who really actually understands and loves all of this.
Right.
Because, regardless, again, of what the mainstream media will tell you, he loves the Constitution. He loves the fact that the main principle of the Constitution is limited government. If you go back to his inauguration speech, he talks about returning power back to the people. He talks about federalism. He talks about his love of this country. And that's why everyone in the swamp, including some of the rhinos, absolutely hated him, because they exist here for their own self-interest and their own power. And he completely disregarded all of that. And I love him for it. And 74 million Americans or more love him for that as well.
And what was it like to work? I talk about this all the time, but tell our listeners, what was it like to work for Donald Trump, the man?
He is so incredibly kind.
And thoughtful.
And
this is what shocks the left will never understand.
Oh, my goodness. They will never. And Trump world moves at lightning crazy
boom,
speed.
I call it the speed of Trump.
Yes. And no one who, if you think your job was busy, you have never experienced Trump world. I had to be prepared to have, there were phone calls that were prior to 5 a.m. and past 2 a.m. I mean, just all the time, you know, be prepared for anything. But the thing that I think was so incredible was that, you know, I had been doing media for 3 years on a national level, way more than that. My undergrad's actually in journalism, by the way. But I'd been doing it on more of a national level. But after he hired me, it was amazing to me. The first probably 2 or 3 weeks, every single hit that I did, he watched and he called me right after. And we talked
about
it.
And
so I had like direct mentorship, and he would always talk about the, you know, the good things. And then here's also what you can bring up and this and that. And he would call me all the time just to, you know, say hi, to encourage me. He is involved with the people directly around
him.
The
best is when you're in Singapore doing a TV hit for Fox on the roof of the hotel as he's signing the peace deal with North Korea. And he calls you up in your hotel room and says, "Seb, that was great. Sir, aren't you with little Kim?" Doesn't matter. I'm going to call you up. That's who he is. She's Jenna Ellis. Stay with us here on America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America First.
It only boggles your mind, Brian Stelter, you sad little man. For the rest of America, it's America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network. Great little text I just received from my good friend Kathy, who's a loyal listener. What a wonderful, inspiring interview with the indomitable Jenna Ellis. Clap, clap, clap. Thank you, Kathy. We tend to agree with you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Another great American is Mike Lindell. If you haven't seen it, he's released a film. They want to cancel him everywhere, but you can watch it. It's about the last election. MichaelJLindell.com. Check it out, and you make your own decision. MichaelJLindell.com. And support this man. You know what? How much he helped the president, how the left wants to destroy him. Buy his incredible product, starting with a MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. Not $69.98. With my name as the promo code, $29.98. He's only sold 51 million of them. Call them today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. MyPillow.com. Code Gorka. We have to talk about the impeachment. We have to talk about the last election. The Associated Press disagrees with everything in this hour, and that's a good metric. But you wanted to share a story with us about the president, about just how compassionate he is. Go ahead.
Yeah, really quickly. So we were on our way back from the Colorado rally, and by on the way back, meaning on Air Force One. And Colorado, of course, is my home state. And so he actually asked me to speak at that rally ahead of
Did you know? What did he say? Come up on the stage.
No, I knew, thankfully.
Okay.
But
usually he just goes.
Usually he's just like, come on up. Yeah. And so now I was part of like the pregame, and I had actually gone to Colorado in advance to do some stuff with Laura, so I knew all of that. But that also then made it even more nerve wracking,
right,
to be, you know, rather than just in the moment. But but anyway, so we're on the way back, and I get a text from a really good friend of mine who's a representative in Colorado, because I've been involved in local Colorado politics for years. And he says, you know, there is the parents of one of the kids who unfortunately was killed in one of the Colorado shootings. what they were there, and they were really hoping to meet the president, and apparently that didn't happen and all of this. And he's like, so, you know, I just wanted to let you know this. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, let me just let him know that. And so, so I went up to his office and was telling him, and there's a little more background to the story. But I told him this, and he immediately says, oh, get him on the phone. Get him on the phone right now. So, so I go back and we're almost landing. So I find, you know, so I have cell reception on my phone. So I try to call them and I'm thinking I'm going to like connect it somehow to his, you know, his phone in his office. And I have them just waiting and I come in, he's like, oh, do you have him on the phone? And he's like, well, give it to me. And at the time, and you can't, I mean, I've changed my phone case since then, but I used to have this really bright pink sparkle, pink,
oh, yeah,
you know, case that you've seen it before. Mm-hmm. So he's like, give me the phone. The best image, he's sitting there, doesn't care
with
at all.
My Little Pony phone case.
Yes, with, well, not quite, but it's Kate Spade. Give me, I mean, I'm you know,
hey,
but I,
what's
but I
my
would have
pony?
My Little Pony. I loved My Little Pony. I still do, actually. But so he's sitting there in his office on Air Force One, making everyone wait, talking to these parents and just telling them how much he's so sorry for what happened to their kids, telling, like, listening to
so
them.
He is.
He asked me, you know, before, okay, you know, what anything that I knew about them, about the family. And the thing that struck me was, here's somebody who, all the pretenses of mainstream media, they think that he's so worried about image and all this stuff. And I'm like, here he is on a pink sparkle iPhone, not giving a damn.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there because he cares about parents, and he's like,
bingo,
I'm going to take it right now so that I make sure that they know that I care. And no coverage, no media, nobody, like, it wasn't about that. It was
right.
Simply, and that's one of my favorite mental pictures of him, because in that moment, that's who Donald Trump is.
It's analogous to what he always did when he landed. So Air Force One doesn't usually, sometimes it can land at a regular airport, but often we land on military bases for various reasons. And the local police will be there as outriders. So the beast is already there. It's been pre-shipped, the convoy, the control vehicles, the ambulances. And we get off the back of the plane. He comes off the front of the plane with or without Melania. And the first thing he always did, and there's no press there, right? Because it's a military facility. There's, you know, they'll be at the stadium or whatever. He would walk from the front of the stairs to every single police officer on their motorbike and shake them by the hand and just say a few words and to thank them. Mm-hmm. Not because there's a photo opportunity, because there's no journalists there. Because he means it, and because of what those law enforcement officers mm-hmm. mean to him. That's who he is. All right, we're talking to Jenna Ellis. Follow her right now. Instagram, Twitter, Jenna Ellis Esquire, ESQ.
For Gab now.
Gab. Oh, and she's on Gab as well. Are we on Gab? We better get on
you
Gab.
You should. Get
we
on
should.
Gab.
All right. There you go. She's told us. The council has spoken. Get on Gab. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. I don't know if we're going to take any calls, but if we are going to take calls, guys, will you please ditch the big tech cell phone companies? They're not on your side. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company, Patriot Mobile, rated number one in America for customer service. And at the end of the month, they don't donate to things like Planned Parenthood and gun control organizations. They donate to organizations that believe in the sanctity of life, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, now with an even more expanded 4G LTE national network. Amazing discounts for first responders and veterans. You can keep your old phone number. Their US-based team are real experts in transferring your account. Call them today. Join the good guys. 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com. At the end of the month, guess what they do? They support the causes you believe in. Join the good guys. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA.
The only man standing between the radical left and your cheeseburgers. It's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
And we're going to fight for them every single day because that's who we are. We are. This is just going by too quickly. Let's book her for another 3 hour show. She's Jenna Ellis.
We should do a 3 hour show.
We should, especially during the impeachment. It's a good idea. Follow her, Jenna Ellis Esquire, on every platform that matters.
See, and I get this on air now, Jeff, so that now, like, I have his commitment.
You're committed.
So, see, I'm a good lawyer like that.
Let's talk about the last election. Let's have our Chiron up so YouTube is, we'll see if they believe in the First Amendment. There is a huge article. I'm not going to discuss it now. I'm going to discuss it in the next hour when you're not here. Massive article at Time Magazine, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. It's really a confession of what they did. I want to ask
it's
you.
It's gloating.
Oh, it is.
About what
oh, totally.
Did.
I'm gonna talk about it. If you haven't read it, I'm gonna give you my analysis. But I need to ask you from inside the battle, inside the sausage factory of the last election, two big questions. I don't see a master plan, right? There was no, it wasn't Obama in a cave with a joystick machinating everything. It was just cultures. It was cultures. It was actors like Zuckerberg and others. What did you see in terms of some kind of master plan? And then secondly, I have to get you on the record because everybody on the left says this, but there was no evidence. They had no evidence of voter fraud at all. So your response, what was it? A Borg thing? Was it the collective mindset of messing with the election across various different communities? Or did you see some kind of master plan? And then secondly, your response to the, oh, there was no evidence.
Well, I'll answer the second question first, because absolutely there was evidence. And everyone who says, you got kicked out of court and you lost on the merits, that is not true.
Yeah.
So what actually happened and what I saw is that the left and the Democrats, through various channels, through a lot of different, which the Time article actually goes into, is that they saw an opportunity, various actors, to really break down the election integrity safeguards. So, and this was something that President Trump was talking about a year before the election, was saying, look at where they're going into these states, and they are making it easier for illegal votes to be counted. And now that's not, and of course the left tries to spin this as, you're racist, you're against this demographic,
voter suppression,
all that. No. We want to make sure that elections are safe and secure. If you have to show an ID to buy cigarettes in this country or go to a rated R movie, it shouldn't be that difficult to get voter ID. But we don't even have that. But we have very minimal safeguards and security. And they systematically, across a variety of states, not only took away those safeguards, and they intentionally tried to change the law in states through some legal and some unconstitutional methods. And it was all the way across the board. And so we had evidence not only of unconstitutional action that was in some ways challenged. I think it should have been challenged more vigorously ahead of the election. Not my call, but, hindsight is always 20/20. And then, but then after the election, when you saw the administration from governors to secretaries of states to election officials all the way down the line in the executive branch, the administration of the election violated the rules.
Yeah.
And what the Constitution says is that the legislature, the state legislatures, not Congress, they get to determine how the election is administered and how they select their delegates to the Electoral College. It used to be historically, until 1824, that the state legislatures themselves would simply unilaterally pick them.
Just pick them.
So this isn't any disenfranchisement. There were so many ways that the left completely muddled the truth. But the truth of what happened is that the executive branch across several states simply ignored the legislative branch.
And let me ask you this.
And there's plenty of evidence for that. And again, go back and read the Texas case, because that was basically the one all-consuming case that brought in everything altogether instead of trying to litigate this across six or seven different states.
Well, let's talk about that then. The Supreme Court's no standing argument, your reaction.
Ridiculous.
Because this is a federal post. The idea that Texas doesn't have standing. for the choice of a president? How is that even made?
The idea
how can you make that?
That if the system is designed that 50 states participate in a system
together,
it would be like going to the Olympics and saying, you know, 50 different countries are participating in this one event, and six countries, their athletes violate the rules, and somehow the other countries that participate don't have standing to challenge that because it affects, it does, it just doesn't make sense.
So it was a political decision.
Of course. Okay. And it was one that they absolutely didn't have the discretion not to hear. They should have at least heard now, regardless of where they came down on their
But because
opinion,
it's state v. state.
Because it's state v. state under
it's
Article
Supreme
3.
Court.
It's original jurisdiction, yeah, meaning you file it directly, and that's the only court that has jurisdiction.
Very quick question. We've got 90 seconds, and I apologize. We can't remove the incumbent president. You can't undo an election unless he's committing treason and you impeach him. That's the only way to do that. So is this crying over spilt milk now, or what is the job of those who believe in the Constitution? What has to happen now before the next election so it doesn't happen again? What's the so what of all this?
Yes, and that is, we have the next 2 years before 2022 to go back into those states that many of them, the six that we went to for the legislatures, they're Republican majorities, Republican controlled.
Right.
And
the
so
battleground
you
states.
Better put back in these safeguards. You need to change your law to make sure that these types of problems, these types of irregularities, the type of fraud that did occur, the administration of it, you are the constitutionally vested entity that has to make sure that this never happens again. And we have 2 years to do that. And for anyone who loves the Constitution, it's not enough to just say, well, then I'm out. I'm never going to vote again. Well, no, that's irresponsible. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's sore losing. That's saying, okay,
yes,
just because the Supreme Court didn't do their obligation, that doesn't divest me of mine as an American citizen.
That's fabulous. What a great way to think
and
about
so
it.
We have to go back and we have to make sure we protect our vote and our election integrity for the future.
Just because the Supreme Court didn't do their duty doesn't mean that you don't have a responsibility to get involved.
We the people.
We the people. Follow her right now on all platforms that matter. Jenna Ellis, Jenna Ellis ESQ. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. How do I know that? I don't need a script. I've been living it. When Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team behind this product, came to me, more than 2 years ago, I had a low back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. And that was more than 2 years ago, and I'm still pain-free. Find out for yourself just how good this product is. Don't just listen to me. Listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. Find out if Relief Factor is the answer to your pain relief. Order your 3-week quick starter pack. Call them on 800-583-84 or go to relieffactor.com. It costs just $19.95. That translates to less than $1 a day. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? You know it makes sense. Do it today. ReliefFactor.com, 800-583-84, ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Someone else who was on the president's team, still fighting for everything Donald Trump stands for, is our good guest. I can't believe it. Where did that hour go? It's pathetic. You have to get her back. Jenna Ellis. Follow her. Jenna Ellis, Esquire, ESQ, on all the platforms that matter. Okay. We've gone through most of my questions, but here's one that is a bigger picture. Bigger picture. What's happening tomorrow in the Senate is part and parcel of a larger thing that a friend of mine
calls, Jim Hansen calls the attempt to criminalize being a conservative.
Yes.
When you have Jake Tapper yesterday say the MAGA terrorists, this isn't just about one man and one election, is it, Jenna?
Not at all. And it is definitely the left trying to intimidate conservatives into silence and saying, if you do not go along with our narrative, we are going to label you now. I mean, because racism didn't work. Calling us all racist.
No,
calling
10 us million all, more people voted for him.
Right. And so because, you know, those kinds of attacks, now they're going to even worse than just hate speech and things that you can challenge in some ways legally. Now they're going to actual criminal activity. And basically what they're trying to do is tomorrow put every single Donald Trump supporter on trial. That's what they're doing.
Wow. I think we have the title for this hour. You nailed it. It's not about trying a man. It's about trying to cancel 74 million people, right?
It's not about him being a former president.
Yeah.
It's about all of us who voted for him. And we are still active. We are still office holders because we are still we the people. And that's why they're after this.
Okay, last 60 seconds from Jenna Ellis. What has made you stick to your guns, not to give in, not to surrender to the mob or the cancel culture? Because high visibility, attorney to the president, senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign, you could have just tapped out at any time. Why didn't you, Jenna?
Because a long time ago, I prayed a prayer that I said, Lord, like Isaiah, the prophet, here I am, send me. And he did. And if I believe in the promise of God and his faithfulness, I have to be faithful to what he's called me to. And I will speak truth, and I will be a conservative. This isn't about red or blue. This is about truth. It's about right and wrong. And if I don't stand up for truth, then I will be disobeying my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am first and foremost a Christian, and that's why I'm a conservative.
Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me.
Don't pray that prayer unless you are really, willing for him to answer in a way that's beyond your wildest expectations or possibilities of dreams.
What other purpose is there? It's what we believe in. It is the ultimate truth. It's the only truth. And that is why we believe what we believe. And that is why America is the greatest nation on God's earth. And that's why we never, ever give in. God bless you, Jen Ellis.
Amen. Thank you.
This is America First. Don't touch that dial.